everyone. This is Nick Stevens. I'm the pastor here at Living Faith. I just want to take a moment and welcome you to the podcast. As we begin the year, I want to personally invite you to consider taking that next step in your faith journey. Perhaps that means sharing this podcast with others, choosing to contribute financially to the mission of the church, or taking that step to send us an email or come visit us in person. Whatever your next step is, we want to encourage you to consider how you can join us in living as an expression of Jesus today. Thanks for joining us. Enjoy the podcast. So while I was in Singapore, I told you before I left that there was a gentleman in India who was going to be flown in from World City Class Ministries, which is founded here in Baltimore. And when I landed in Singapore, that is exactly what happened. And I have to admit, so I was a little bit concerned. I was a little bit nervous. Out of the five continents I've been on and the 22 countries I've been in, I have not been to India. And all I really knew were stereotypes, right? Great intellects, very smart, very hardworking. And so it actually turned out when I went to meet him at the local Starbucks. Yeah, Starbucks is a great place to meet him. I went to meet him at Starbucks. Understand, I had no picture of who he was. I had no idea who I was meeting, and he was landing in country, so he wasn't able to text me, so he could say, okay, you know, I'm here, I'm in the red shirt, I just arrived, where are you? And so I started looking around and using the exact tools that I had to identify him, the exact stereotypes. It's all I had. I'm sorry, we all do it. So I looked throughout the room, and right, you guys work through this process with me? I'm looking for a single man who's Indian, standing and looking like he has no idea, like he's looking for someone. That's what I'm looking for. So I get there, and I find one. There's, interestingly enough, and I'll get to this because it dawned on me last, right? Shows you my ignorance. I get there and I start looking around the room. Okay, no, I'm not in America. I'm in Asia. All right? So now 99% of the people are Asian. Thank you for calling me along. That's great. I love participation. So I'm looking around the room, and there's just Asian people, but there's two Indian people. And the first one is over on the window, and he's texting, and he's looking out the window. Kind of fit the profile. Then there's another guy who walked up who wasn't on his phone. Mid-40s, just casual, just stood there. And then it dawned on me. Maybe instead of me looking for him, maybe he should be looking for me. Because I'm the 1%. I'm the only one in the room who fits his stereotype. And sure enough, he pegged me right away. And this amazing conversation began. And it's interesting because he came to Singapore with an agenda to kind of teach me about the missions and teach me about all these things. But those of you who know me, we started that at the beginning. That's just become friends. We started talking about, can you guess? Being a dad. We started talking about being a dad, and it's interesting because he started sharing with me from his Indian culture, which is very similar to the Asian culture, as it is an Asian culture. He talked about his own testimony and having to choose and follow Jesus actually moved him to being judged and an outcast from his own society, because the Asian men are expected to be more honorable in the world than they are in their own family. They're expected to work 50, 60 hours a week and be seen as successful in the world, that whatever the participation and presence in the family is much more of less value. And to watch him explain to me how he has begun to practice the biblical teachings of being a father was so impactful to me. And he pointed me to a whole new fascinating insight, a revelation in the scriptures, which I hope to get to after this series sometimes this year. It's called the Hebrew alphabet. Any of you speak Hebrew? Have you studied Hebrew? So he began a little bit. So he began to share with me his doctoral studies in Hebrew. How they have each letter has a rhythm to life, and how each letter reflects an image and a meaning. And it began with a left. And what most powerfully resembled a left was Abba, Father. And what he spoke about, when he spoke about Abba, A-B-B-A, which would actually be backwards, so I'm doing it right, as Hebrew would be backwards, A-B-B-A, a left means strength, 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 and bet would mean double boundary, or more specifically, house. And he talked about how this word Abba, Dad, Father, that the very essence of the word was building a strong house, boundaries. That this is a father's role, that this is our eternal father's role, that he's put these boundaries in our life, that when you have boundaries, you have freedom. When you have boundaries, you have connection. Which just seems so amazing, because if you actually read secular research and literature, do you know who the people who are that actually live the longest? It's actually people who are in healthy families. It's actually people because, and this is interesting, because you would think, right, you think, well, I just want to be free, right? We've all been there. I like to think about where the millennials are right now. Like, I just want to be free. I just want to do what I want to do. But it's actually not freedom. It actually doesn't bring longevity. It actually doesn't bring health. But actually, when you move into a relationship, those of you who are married in this room understand boundaries. Right? With my wife, I have laid my life down and adopted boundaries to care for my family. And these boundaries begin to give life, not take them. And he started going through the letters of the alphabet, and I was just blown away by what God had began to show me then, what I've been diving into since then. So I want to take you to the 17th letter of the alphabet this morning. And I want you to turn with me to Psalm 119, 129. I'm going to ask you to stand with me as I read this. I'm reading from ESV, and we don't do this all the time, but I'd love to just have you stand with me as I read this letter K. It's Psalm 119, 129 to 136, and it says this. Letter K. Your testimonies are wonderful, therefore my soul keeps them. The unfolding of your words gives light and imparts understanding to the simple. I open my mouth and pants, because I long for your commandments. Turn to me and be gracious to me, as is your way with those who love your name. Keep steady my steps according to your promise, and let no iniquity get dominion over me. Redeem me from man's oppression, that I may keep your precepts. Make your face shine on your servant, and teach me your statutes. My eyes shed streams of tears because people do not keep your law. You may be seated. Thank you. I just want to talk about simple faith this morning. See, this word pay actually resembles, the letter itself actually resembles the mouth. And there's another word which also is mouth, but we'll speak about that more next week. But pay is breath, but it's actually not the in breathing in, it's actually the breath that's coming out, it's actually speech. It's actually forming words. It's actually giving testimony. It's actually speaking life out from a vessel. The other word for mouth is hey. As in yod hey vod hey, which we know as Yahweh. It's actually breath going in. But hey is breath coming out, being spoken, truth. The words of life coming out. And when we talk about simple faith, I love how this passage begins with these words of testimony. See, the scriptures say that from the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. See, the words that you find coming out of your mouth, I want you to know that they reveal the nature of your soul. Now, some of us are a little more aged, a little more mature, a little bit more sly and crafty, that we've been able to maybe keep our mouth closed. So let me go one step further. The thoughts going through your mind reveal the context of your soul. The things we think, the things we ponder, the things we long for, the things we desire, the things that we speak. And the author begins by saying, your testimonies are wonderful, and my soul keeps them. The unfolding of your words gives light and imparts understanding to the simple. Your testimonies are wonderful. See, faith in Christ, when we become followers of Jesus, our lives begin new, and this simple faith needs to be expressed and surrounded by words of life. This is my desire for this faith community, that we would be a place that we are just speaking the testimonies of God, that we are speaking the truths of God, that we are speaking the scriptures of God, because we need the life and the words of God to be moving all around us so that life may exist. And I wonder, as we read these words, where do we find ourselves? Your testimonies are wonderful, and therefore my soul keeps them. The unfolding of your words gives light and imparts understanding to the simple. What comes out of your mouth? What comes out of your mouth? Is it the testimonies of the living Christ, or is it your grocery list that has to be grabbed at the grocery store today? No, there's nothing wrong with having your grocery list, of course. But I have to be honest with you, sometimes my to-do list and things that I need to do today are actually much more front and center on my tongue, on my mind, on my heart, than they are the testimonies of the living God. That I will find myself saying and speaking into the lives of other people around me, things that I have to do, the things that I need, the things that are bothering me, rather than speaking the truth of the living God. And that which is supposed to be simple now becomes very murky and very cloudy. That which is supposed to be encouraging and give life, gives life, now begins to become weighed on other people. How many of you have, don't show your hands? All right? How many of you have people in your life that feel more like takers than they do givers? And you know that as soon as that phone rings, as soon as you get that text, as soon as you see them, that the words coming out of their mouth are not going to be testimonies of what God is doing, but they're going to be a need, or a concern, or a worry, something that is coming to take rather than to give. See, I think what my fear is in our lives, that rather than this simple faith which has girded us and holds us, I think what begins to happen is we begin to lose our testimony. We now begin to lose our story. How many of you remember, like it was yesterday, how you came to know Jesus? How many of you remember, like it was yesterday, the last time that you heard his voice, the last time that you felt him prodding you, the last time he felt his arms around you, the last time the first thing to pop in your mind was a passage of scripture that you memorized? I went to I dropped Kai off at school on Thursday with his first day back. You can ask me how that went later. And one of our things on our to-do list is to return him to gymnastics. Now, so I went out to Prestige. This kind of school is nearby. I went down to Prestige Gymnastics, and I went in. And I know some of you still don't believe this, but I really am. Even more as life's moving on, I'm an extreme introvert. And being out in public just kind of, I just get anxiety. Okay, I'm just going to say it. I just do. And so I went to... Some of you are laughing because some of you are like me. I love you. And so I went to Prestige and I walked in, and I've done this before and I've tried and I just haven't been able to get through the obstacles. And I went in this time, and the gym is full. The gym is full. There's a lot of homeschoolers, college-age students. This is their training, and they're homeschooling. They train in gymnastics to get into a good college, and the gym is full, and there's at least 10 coaches around. But there's no one at the front desk. And there's men coaches and women coaches, and they all look good to me, and they all look really cool to me, and I would love to be a part of bringing my son here. There's no one for me to talk to. And I make eye contact with them, and they make eye contact with me, and I do what comes most naturally. I just drink another sip of my coffee. Because I have no idea what to do. Actually, Rutgers.
There you go.
Yes. Actually, Rutgers. We can wipe that from the podcast, I think. And I'm standing there, and honestly, guys, this is what I did. This is just what I did. God, I have no idea what to do. I really want Kai to be involved. He wants to do this. Can you just help me? In that moment, I'm not kidding you, the same woman that coached him 2 years ago walked right in the door. And her name was Sharon. And I just lit up. And she's probably like, who is this weirdo? You know? And I'm like, Sharon, I was just waiting for you. You know, and she remembered us, and she said, how's your doctor coming, and how's your trip to Singapore? And we haven't seen her for 2 years. And in that moment, she was like, I would love to get your son back involved. And God just opened the door. Now, I'm just admitting, I didn't know what to do, but the simple thing for me to do is to say, God, you're at the front of my mind, your testimony, I know that you can do things and help me through if I just show up, so I don't know what to do. And I want you to know, it wasn't just this time, I've been in and out of that building 4 or 5 times. But God opened the door. And this is the thought. What is at the front of our minds? What narrative do we keep returning to? What story? What promise? What passage? What testimony? Because what I know about our lives that the enemy is coming to steal, and what I know is that the first thing that he steals is our memories of all that God's done. He steals the testimonies right out from our souls. But we're not alone. We're not alone in the confusion and the wonder. Many of you are so familiar with this passage. How many of you remember the story of Nicodemus? Right? Jesus is communicating this testimony of the word of life, and he says, you must be born again. Which I want you to know, in my perception, has certainly become a trite Christian saying, and personally I find many more images much more capturing than being born again, but wind certainly works for me. Where Jesus talks about the moving of the wind, that even though you might not see it, there's evidence of it. And Nicodemus says this in verse 9, which many of us are all so familiar with. He says, how can this be? How can this be, right? He's a pastor. He's a religious. He's well-studied. He's not simple at all. I mean, he knows his scriptures. And he says, Jesus, how can this be? And Jesus says this. He says, are you the teacher of Israel, and yet you don't understand these things? Truly, truly, I say to you, we speak of what we know and bear witness of what we have seen. But you do not receive our testimony. If I have told you earthly things and you do not believe, then how can you believe if I tell you of heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except he who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. See, I would agree that many of us in this room have cross that threshold, and we've said, Jesus, I surrender my life to you. I acknowledge that you are Lord and Savior. But there's something that happens in our lives that the testimonies don't multiply. And if they don't multiply, they don't flourish, they don't overflow. If they don't overflow, they don't move into the lives of other people. So we just kind of stop there. And I think what begins to happen is we get left in the same exact place as Nicodemus. Jesus, I'm here with you, I see you, but I don't quite understand. when being born again. And Jesus said something really, really simple. I'm telling you what I've seen. My friends, we need to be telling each other the things that we've seen in our lives. The things that we've seen Christ do. And they need to become more valuable and more essential and more significant than any other conversation we have in our lives. The other ones are important. As Dwayne talked about, you know, here's what's happening in my life. I need help. And this is a great place for it to begin. And we can go to one another and say, here I am, see me. And my friends, if we lose the testimony of the Lord, I want you to know that we have nothing to offer except that which the world gives. There's no power. There's no healing. There's no promise. There's no love. And you see these images unroll under this sound pay. The unfolding of your words, it gives light. This is what Jesus was trying to say. If we listen to his teachings, we listen to his words, and our soul keeps them. My soul keeps them. How many of you have a safe deposit box? How many of you use banks? How many of you have things at home that you value, that you keep in a special place? See, the author is saying, these are my testimonies, and I keep them in a secret place in their garden. And I'm going to keep them safe. I'm not going to let anyone breach them. I'm not going to let anyone steal them. I'm going to guard them because they are more valuable to me than anything. Why? Because it says it imparts understanding to the simple. So, understanding to the simple. I love the opening video. Can I have a couple people help me? This is going to be our task over the next couple weeks. Do you think you get that open? Thank you. Steve, can you find people to open up that stuff? So, simple, I want you to know, is a terrible word in the Bible. It's kind of derogatory, kind of non-encouraging. I like the idea of simple, right? Simple life, simple day, simple family, simple job. Yeah, just kind of go through motion. But the word simple in the Bible actually means unschooled, ignorant, unknowing. In the New Testament, Luke writes about them being ordinary, unschooled men, the Greek word would be idiot. All right? So being simple is like being an idiot. This is the Hebrew definition of this word simple, is actually being open. Being open. Just like a blank canvas. This would actually be the definition of simple. Now, that looks great to an artist. But how about someone who struggles to create? Because I want you to know, just like as we saw in the video, this canvas, I want you to imagine being your soul. From the moment you're born, I want you to know, this is how we come into the world. And then from day one, people around us start fleeing pain. But this idea of being simple is actually extraordinarily difficult. Because the people around us are throwing colors on us. Whatever their ideas, whatever their thoughts, however they define us. And if we're not careful, what begins to happen is we become a piece of art in the world that we never even partakers in design. And so when you come to Jesus, this beautiful thing happens. We get to return to a simple faith. It says... imparting wisdom, imparting understanding to the simple. So in order for us to return to a simple faith, here's what is actually happening. Here's what simple means. When simple means being open, receiving any pain, any ideas, whatever the world says, right? It's complete relativism. That's simple. But I want you to know, as followers of Jesus, we now get to become defined. We get to begin to have our lives defined by Christ. We pick up brushes. And we begin to write on our souls the very things, the very words, the very testimonies of God. And so simple doesn't mean we remain open anymore as followers of Jesus. It actually means that we become very defined. Our life purpose becomes defined. Our identity becomes defined. The work which we live in our life becomes defined. No longer tossed to and fro like weeds.
Thanks again for joining us here at the Living Faith Podcast. If you haven't done so yet, a great way to stay connected is to go to the App Store and search for Living Faith Lancaster. There, you'll be able to get notifications, listen to weekly podcasts, access Bible reading plans, and more. God is doing so much work in our lives here, and we would love to be part of it with you. So listen, share, visit, and give. Everything you do to partner with us advances the message of the kingdom of God. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next week.